everybody, welcome to episode 3. That's right, number 3 of Wrestling Now with the Legend. I'm your host, the legend T. James Logan. Today's episode, get a chance to talk to Hotshot Danny Duggan. Hotshot Danny Duggan is not only one of the premier wrestlers in Western Canada, he's done some trips into ROH, knows a little bit about indie wrestling across this nation, owns CWE, which is one of the biggest hotbeds of wrestling in Central Canada. Two of us are going to sit together. We're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things. We're going to talk some Raw. We're going to talk some WWE as a whole. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk ROH. And you know what? We'll even address a bit of a rumor about Tyler Breeze that's been floating around. So stay tuned. Look forward to any feedback that you people have of this episode. And remember, I'm still taking questions in and topic ideas in for the next episode that I plan to have probably in about 6 to 8 weeks with Dan Crawford. So any old-time stories, any old-time legends, any old-time ideas that came out of Stampede that you want to know about. I know for myself, one question I always wondered about is, who exactly was Tor Kamada? I think he'll be a very interesting topic that they'll be talking about. So tune in for that one. But like I said, send in questions to From the Second Row on Facebook, or send them to the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network home site. We'll gather those questions and we'll be sure to ask Dan when we get our chance. But this episode, episode 3, here we go. Hotshot Danny Duggan. Hey folks, welcome to episode 3 of Wrestling Now. I'm your host, Legend T. James Logan. Today, as always, we have a special guest. We have a special guest tonight. I am talking about Hotshot Danny Duggan. First of all, welcome aboard, Hotshot.
Well, it's Hotshot Danny Duggan. So I'm going to correct you right off the top there, Legend. But it's not just Hotshot Danny Duggan. It's the man with arms of steel, an ass with sex appeal. I'm jacked. I'm fanny packed. I'm Hotshot Danny Duggan.
I know. And I sorry. You know, I always call you that as a joke. We know that.
In the face so you stop.
Good, but you'll have to make me stop bleeding with Zubaz. But anyways, Danny, I got to ask you, how's things going in the wonderful world of wrestling for you?
Wrestling's amazing right now. We're kind of seeing a little bit of a resurgence across the board. People are really excited about WWE for, you know, the most they've been in a long time. NXT's really got people excited about professional wrestling. New Japan Pro Wrestling's got people excited about wrestling, and it's really trickled down now that I'm going to places all over Canada and the United States, and everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing a big increase in attendance because it's kind of cool to be a wrestling fan again.
It really is. You know, speaking of which, I seen recently a match with you from ROH, which was pretty incredible. Just that went up like a week or two ago. So you're working with them a little bit now too, aren't you? Excellent. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about a lot of different wrestling. We'll get to ROH, but of course, we got to start with the big boys, right? Let's talk WWE. Now, what do you think right now of the current? I mean, they've been plagued with injuries. They're coming up to the biggest show of the year for them. What does the state of WWE look like to you right now?
Watching a lot of these top guys get hurt, and it's really kind of compromised the integrity of the best card possible for WrestleMania. But with that being said, it is WrestleMania. It's going to sell tickets regardless of who's on it and who's wrestling who, because it is that one event a year that everybody makes sure to watch. People that aren't wrestling fans will tune in and watch WrestleMania once a year. It's that one show a year that doesn't matter if you're a little bit of a fan or a big fan. You're going to sit down and make some time to watch it with your buddies. So overall, it's going to be a success in terms of what it draws and the attendance and the revenue brought in for it. And they do have a strong enough roster that even if the stories aren't super strong going into the pay-per-view, they've got a lot of incredible talent that are healthy, that are going to be on that pay-per-view. So the match quality is going to be very good. So as a one-off show, it's going to be entertaining.
Is it going to be enough to sell 100,000 tickets?
I think so. We've been talking about that a lot lately. Is that going to be, are they going to be able to hit that? And I think it will. WrestleMania sells itself.
Agreed.
You know, I joke around. I was like, you could put Doink vs. Mantar in the main event at WrestleMania, and people are going to buy it at this point.
Aren't those guys dead?
Sorry?
Aren't those two dead? I would watch two zombies fight it out.
Dead, yes, but there are other incarnations that are still
okay.
Alive, and Mantar is alive and well, actually. He's
okay.
Active in the Midwest, United States. But for that, but I think they'll have The Rock.
Yeah.
Triple H, they've got Brock Lesnar. They'll have The Undertaker. They've got enough guys there. I'm sure, you know, there's still a chance we'll see Steve Austin make some kind of appearance on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
It's AJ Styles' first WrestleMania. They've got enough individual attractions that people are going to be excited to see it.
Okay, well, let's just talk a bit about some of the wrestlers in WWE. What's your take on Roman Reigns? I know a lot of people, it seems like half the crowd loves him, half the crowd hates him. What do you see?
I feel really bad for Roman Reigns. I think he's an incredibly talented wrestler. The stuff those three were doing in the Shield was absolutely incredible. And at one point, they were the most overact in the company. And Roman Reigns was a strong part of that. He was just as good as the other guys. He doesn't have the indie cred, so to speak, as the two guys he was teaming with. So I think in the fans' eyes, he loses a little bit of that with the smart mark, because he isn't a guy that cut his teeth, you know, doing the independents and going up and down the road for $50. But he is incredibly talented. He looks like a superstar. He's highly marketable, and when he gets in the ring, he knows how to go. I think he's been plagued by the quote-unquote reality era in the sense that people know that people that are pushed are chosen by the office, so they see that he's the hand-picked guy. And because they feel somebody like a Daniel Bryan should be the hand-picked guy, or insert the flavor of the month, this month should be the hand-picked guy, he kind of, as a default, kind of gets the short end of the stick by the fans because they feel their guy should be in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because he's not capable. He's not going out there having shitty matches. He's going out there and he's killing it every night.
Yeah, he really is.
I've been to a few house shows here in Winnipeg that he performed in the main event, and he busted his ass for 20, 30 minutes and gave the people a great match. He's talented.
Now, everyone is believing that he is going to end up being in the main event with Triple H. Do you see that happening? And if so...
Yeah, I called that actually before the Rumble. I saw that as the most logical step for the story they were trying to tell, that Roman Reigns would be in there with Triple H. The only other, you know, dark horse possible is maybe, you know, Dean Ambrose turning heel and
mm-hmm.
against Roman, but I don't think that was the WrestleMania. So I think that's something we'll see maybe down the road.
Okay.
But in terms of storytelling, it made sense. The Authority's the one holding him down. It's Triple H is the one taking the title away from him and putting all these obstacles in front of him. So it makes him look like the big bad bully. He screwed Roman Reigns again. He took the title after stacking the deck in the Royal Rumble, and now Roman has the opportunity to be the big hero going against the big villain on the biggest stage of them all, and he gets his redemption. It's classic wrestling.
Now, the only part that that kind of throws a stick in the mud here is the fact, and I just want to look at, say, you did watch the Royal Rumble, right?
Yes, I did.
And did you notice, was it just that crowd, or is that the sentiment feeling, is when Triple H came in, he was cheered like the hero, and Roman Reigns was booed like he was like the trash? And does that change, like when he wins at WrestleMania, what effect does that have now? Are the crowds going to still be booing him as loudly as they have been? Do they mad that Triple H loses?
It's really tough. Like, Roman Reigns is extremely popular in a lot of markets. It's a lot of the smart mark markets, like the Chicago's, the New York's,
mm-hmm.
You know, Orlando's,
Philadelphia.
Fans are a little more invested than, you know, just going to enjoy a good night of quality wrestling. wrestling and cheering the good guys and booing the bad guys. He's kind of in those towns where the fans are a little more in tune with what's going on, and he kind of gets shit on in those towns.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much like John Cena. John Cena has that problem too when he's in those towns.
That's true.
They've remained true to who he is as a character. They've never compromised it, and he's always coasted being exactly who he's presented to be, no matter what the audience has been responding to him as. So I think if they stay the course with him, they'll get there.
Okay.
In theory, that was the idea. People won't want to see Triple H as champion again, so they'll be happy to see Roman Reigns take it away. But Triple H has been one of those guys that's been around for such a long time that he's always going to garner some sort of positive reaction. Like
true.
Austin always will, The Rock always will, Mick Foley always will, The Undertaker always will, and Triple H falls into that too. He's been in that company since 96, so he's a familiar face that the people are accustomed to seeing, and there's going to be some kind of nostalgia and personal connection with a lot of the audience that's watching.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want to spend too much time in WWE, but there's a few guys that I just want to get your take on that it seems like people always want to talk about. Now, have you come across Kevin Owens on the independent circuit when he was Kevin Steen?
I've done a few shows with Kevin Owens on the independent circuit, yes.
And do you see him becoming a bigger player in the WWE, or does his look really limit him? Okay.
And that's what they've always, people would always say, he's never going to have a chance in WWE, but he's gotten that chance. So obviously they were willing to look past it enough to put him on Monday Night Raw. They looked past it enough to have him beat John Cena. They looked past it enough to have him the Intercontinental Champion. So he's had a pretty successful run for being a guy that's only been in the company for a year and looking the way he does. So I think that stigma's kind of gone away because he's got this incredible ability, very much like Dean Ambrose does, that regardless of the fact they don't look like your cookie-cutter WWE superstar, they have such believable intensity and such believable emotion that they connect with every single crowd they wrestle in front of. So that goes a long way. And if you look at a guy like Mick Foley, he wasn't a perfect physique by any means.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a guy that was known for his body, but he had this ability to connect with the audience, and the sky was a limit for him. And I think that's where somebody like a Kevin Owens falls in as well, that he's such a believable heel. Like, he looks like the asshole he portrays, and it's very convincing that that's who he really is. So he draws that kind of that emotion from the audience each and every time he's in the ring, and you can't fake sincere emotion from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are crowds that will cheer the good guy and they'll boo the bad guy, but he's one of those guys that gets a legitimate, sincere reaction. That's worth its weight in gold in this day and age, because a lot of guys aren't very good at getting legitimate heat.
Well, I find his the way he speaks really incredible. He really draws you in with the way he talks about his opponents, the way he deals with just situations within the WWE. That's what I find really refreshing, because you're right. He's one of the few guys, when he talks, you really believe that, wow, this guy really hates so-and-so this much, or he's willing to do this or really go that far. And you're right, there's not a lot of wrestlers who don't seem like they're just mouthing words out there.
It's that thing you hear every so often called the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, the crowd responds, and they respond the way the way you would hope they would. And he's one of those guys, I think, that has that.
Hey, folks, we just cut out for a second with some technical difficulties, but we are back. Danny?
I will assure you it's not because I'm an indie wrestler and not paying my phone bill. My phone bill is intact.
I was not going to bring that up. But I thought about it. No. You got paid in hot dogs last week, didn't you?
Yeah, hot dog and a t-shirt.
And they just don't take that at the phone company.
They don't.
But, you know what? The last question I want to ask you is kind of an interesting one, and I wanted your take on it, okay?
Okay.
There's been a lot of excitement about AJ Styles coming into the WWE. He comes out in the Royal Rumble, gets this remarkable response from the crowd. As far as I understand, his music was in the top 10 downloads, his entrance music, at iTunes last week. They put him in a few big matches with Chris Jericho, and then they put him in with one of those lower card guys, Curtis Axel. And it seems like he is on his way. But then a lot of people are highly critical of what happened on Raw this week, where they had The Miz pretty much describing him so terribly and most people of the fact knowing that Vince McMahon is pretty much the mouth that says what everyone says. And is there that danger that already AJ Styles is being looked at as too small, not a big enough talent? Because there has been a lot of rumors that they don't even have a booking for him yet in WrestleMania.
I heard the controversy about this promo, but I haven't seen it yet. So maybe you kind of enlighten me on some of the things that were said so I kind of give a better perspective on how it went down.
Basically, Miz came out and said, oh, look, here's AJ. He finally made it to the big leagues. You know, here's the guy who was the small runt of the litter. They said the word runt quite a bit. A down-home southern boy who just wasn't big enough to run with the big boys at all. And, you know, he worked real hard and finally, after this many years, has made it to the big leagues, even though he's still such a small guy.
See, I'd have to see the promo to completely understand the context, but the Miz is a bad guy. He's supposed to say things that make him sound like an asshole and make him look like a jerk, so that way when AJ Styles knocks him on his ass for talking shit, there's a response for it. Okay. Yes, there is a certain psychology to a promo where you want to build your opponent up and make him sound like $1 million, so when you beat somebody, it means something. But from what you're telling me, he's not saying he was never good enough. He's just saying, you know, he was small and for that reason alone, he couldn't hang with the big guys. And then I'm assuming AJ probably knocked him on his ass and said, no, dude, I can hang with the big guys, and I just blew your teeth down your throat. So there's they can go both ways. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Heels aren't heels anymore. A heel should be saying things that gets under people's skin and getting under their nerves and making them hate them. We're in a world now where people go, oh, well, we know it's fake, and they try to overanalyze everything that is said.
Very true.
You kind of have to dig a little bit deeper now to get people to legitimately hate you, because we live in a world of what I call fake heat, where people just play along because that's the bad guy and they know that's what they're supposed to do. So the good heels will go that extra mile, and they'll find something to make you hate them. So if The Miz has to dig down deep and insult AJ Styles for working for a company that's viewed below WWE for so many years because he wasn't good enough to be there, then, hey, if that's going to piss people off, and it sounds like it might have, then he did his job.
True. I guess most of the worry is if AJ being treated like Neville was, you know, like how they continually put down Neville on, you know, commentary and make fun of him and detract away from, you know, the wrestler. I guess some people are wondering if, you know, the rose is off AJ, but I, for one, I've seen AJ fight many times, and I've seen him live. I've seen him on TV quite a bit. I think he's an amazing talent. So I think he'd fit right in. Yeah, he's phenomenal. But yeah, there is this controversy. And, you know, you did bring up a very interesting point that, and I guess we are sometimes guilty of this. It's so easy now to overanalyze. What does this move mean? We forget the heel stuff. We forget the face stuff. Instead, sometimes maybe we are looking too much at what does management think when we have no clue.
I read a report that said how much he was making to be there, and you never know what's legitimate being on the internet. But for the number I read, it's probably fairly accurate what he was pulling in per year. So if they're investing that kind of money in him, I don't see them bringing him on board to make him the next TV job guy. If they're going to invest that kind of money and that kind of TV time into a talent, they're going to make sure he gets over so they make their investment back. Vince isn't going to drop high three-figure numbers on a talent so he can treat them like a jobber. It's stupid business, and I always hated that. I even had that on the independent level before, where guys would be like, well, you're not going to book me and bury me, right? I'm like, well, if I'm paying you what you're asking for, I'm going to try to make my investment back, so bringing you on board to bury you for my own amusement isn't a benefit to me or my company.
Not good business.
And that's on a small level, so I imagine they think the same way at a big level. If you're getting over and you're making money, it doesn't matter how talented you are or how horrible you are. If you're connecting with the audience, they're going to make a use for you. And I don't know what the quantity of it was, but I know after AJ Styles debuted on the Rumble, his T-shirt was sold out that night. So if he's selling T-shirts and he's getting a good reaction on television and the people are responding to him, they will push him. And it could be argued, well, that happened with Daniel Bryan, and they didn't follow through with him. But they had no choice. They eventually had to. Yes, he wasn't the ideal guy that the office wanted to put on top, so they fought it tooth and nail and tried to, you know, force feed their guys down. But he was so over that the audience forced WWE to book him how they wanted him to be booked. So if AJ Styles is over and he's over to that level where he's undeniable, they're not going to have a choice but to use him in a high-profile role.
Well, you know what? You're right. Business is business. And speaking of which, like, this just made me think of something odd. And as a businessman, do you see these sort of things as really smart? Is this a very good thing to do? I want to bring up the case of Tyler Breeze at the moment. Tyler Breeze, who's brought up from NXT, started getting a push on in the WWE. And for the last, at least 6 weeks or so, 5 or 6 weeks, he's been nothing but job to lower opponents, basically to the point where it seems like he's lost all his luster. And, of course, a lot of the talk is about that he had a lot of backstage heat, and all this is punishment for whatever he has done in the eyes of management. Is that good business practice? Do you think that's a good idea? Does that really teach him a lesson?
I actually talked to him personally. He doesn't have heat. That's an internet myth that's happening there.
Okay. Awesome.
To be honest with you, I don't know what it is, and I've tried to analyze this before, and I think it comes down to the fact that it's not booked by wrestling people anymore. It's booked by
Hollywood writers.
TV writers.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of times you'll hear fans and, you know, even people in the business, myself included, just go, what in the heck are they doing? Because we have a different mindset and a different psychology on how we think wrestling should be booked or how it's always been booked, where they're bringing in writers that have no wrestling experience or knowledge, and they're booking from an entertainment standpoint. So to them, I don't think wins and losses and things of that nature are as crucial to them as they are to us. And I completely disagree with that theory. Mm-hmm. I think wins and losses can be very important to driving business, because if people are perceived as special and important, people will want to buy tickets to see them. But the people that are writing there have a different philosophy, and their philosophy is the one that Vince is paying for, so that's the philosophy they're going to use. And that happens all the time. Like, I remember when Fandango debuted, he was supposed to be the next big thing, and Vince loved him, and he loved the dancing, and he debuted at WrestleMania. He beat Chris Jericho, and it was just a matter of months later, he was jobbing in 3 minutes on Raw, and I was thinking, like, how did that happen so fast? Like, it used to be the guys would debut, and they would go, you know, they'd go undefeated for almost a year. They work lower end programs and work their way up the card. And if they weren't getting over to the level that the office had hoped, then they would, you know, put somebody over in the mid card or the upper mid card. And then they would, you know, then start sending them back down on the bottom. But it seems like right away, if somebody doesn't connect and is hot right off the hop, that they kind of have the cord pulled on them. And it's really interesting that happens, because nobody's going to get over that quick and to the level they're expecting them to. You kind of need that slow burn in a day and age where people have short attention spans, and that they're so quick to pull the plug because they're wanting quick result. They're wanting instant gratification. But when it comes to getting somebody over organically, you need to take time to do so. So I think a lot of times, the patience isn't there to see something through. So I haven't watched, Tyler's programs consistently on television to fully analyze it, but it could just be a matter of, maybe he's not getting over to the level we need him to just yet.
Well, I thought he looked great in the Royal
Rumble. Few months, so he's got plenty of time to get over, but maybe it's, not to a level they had hoped, or a segment didn't go as hoped, and it's crazy there, because there's so many different agents and there's so many cooks in the kitchen on the writing team that everybody kind of has their guys. You know, every agent will have his guys he's pulling for. Every writer has his guys that he's pulling for. So you don't have one or two guys with a clean-cut, distinct vision on how guys are being pushed or being used, because you have so many different guys pushing for certain guys for different reasons that you're trying to accommodate it all. And I think that's a big part of why you see a lot of this 50-50 booking as well, and so many guys end up getting lost in the shuffle, because somebody may have more influence than somebody else who's pushing somebody over the guy that's just coming in. And it's a political
nightmare,
war zone there.
Yeah.
And you hear about this in these interviews of all the guys that used to work there, and they've had these dreams and aspirations their whole life to work WWE, and then by the time they wrap up their tenure there, they're like, oh my god, that was awful, I hated it, I want nothing to do with it again, just because of the politics that some people have to go through there. It's not the fun dress up and be a wrestler like you thought it would be when you were a kid. It's a lot more than that, because there's a lot of money on the line, and a big push means more merchandise, more residual merchandise royalties. There's a ton of money on the line at every level in that company, so it is political, and rightfully so. I imagine it's like that in all forms of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about NXT. You a fan of the NXT brand?
Yeah, I was actually just starting it before you called this week's episode. I love NXT. It's my favorite program on television right now.
You know what? It actually is mine, too. And just because of the fact, it reminds me sometimes of what I wish WWE could be, where because the characters seem to develop, matches seem to make sense, wins and losses seem to actually be important. And it's so bizarre that there's such a divide between that and the main roster, since they're the same company.
See, I completely disagree with that. I think it's why it's so successful. If WWE was ran exactly like NXT was, then you'd have three of the same brands. I think it stands out and is unique because it is booked so differently than WWE. They're two completely different beasts. NXT is being booked as a wrestling program because they're trying to monopolize the wrestling world. They have the WWE network, and that's why they have scooped up and signed up every big international and independent star in the world right now. So if you want to see your indie darling, you need to drop $10 a month and see them on the network, because you're not able to see them anywhere else. So they're literally making it so they're capturing every wrestling fan's dollar on this planet. So NXT is the distinct traditional wrestling product that is going to draw a certain audience that is a fan of that style of professional wrestling, where Raw and SmackDown are sports entertainment. And there's a very distinct difference between the two, and that's what separates the two brands and makes them unique and different. WWE Raw is selling to the masses, and that's why it's on USA Network and it's being sold for millions of dollars to advertisers, where NXT is a niche product that is for the traditional smart wrestling fan that likes classic style wrestling, and that's only available on the network, which is owned by WWE. So when you drop your $10 to see them, it's going directly to them and nobody else. So it's a really, really well thought out business plan on how they're trying to monopolize the business when you really sit down and think about why they're doing what they're doing.
Now, here's a bit of an odd question then, okay? Many guys... wrestlers such as yourself. Now, I know you have a very big passion for this business, do you not? I mean, this is
definitely. It's my life.
And you've wanted to be that wrestler. You've wanted to put on matches. You've wanted to do that physicality. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. I'm a fan of traditional professional wrestling. It's what I grew up on and what I still enjoy watching to this day.
Okay, so so you're working hard. You're on the indies. You're doing your thing. You get called. You get to try out, and you make it to NXT. And you're doing this stuff. But then when you get called up to the main roster, some of that goes away, does it not then? Because as the model says, you're no longer wrestling in the sense of wrestling. Now it's become an entertainment thing. And I've always wondered, is that hard on the guys who've really wanted to had that dream of growing up of being that wrestler, and now you've gone from wrestler to cartoon?
Be that wrestler when you're on Raw. You're just it's just a different genre of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Sports entertainment is still wrestling. It's just dressed up a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And what we do on the independent shows, you know, I'll have a match on Friday, which will be, you know, your traditional classic wrestling match. And depending on who my opponent is on the Tuesday, it's very like, or I'm sorry, on the Saturday, you very well may see me in an entertainment style match. And that's part of being a versatile, well-rounded performer. You need to be capable to perform at a high level with anything that's thrown at you. If you're putting all your eggs in one basket and you're the wrestling guy or you're the comedy guy, you're only going to get so far.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have many levels to your personality and to your abilities, because they need to be able to put you in any role. Being in WWE in this day and age is like being cast in a movie. You're being cast in a role. So if you've got range with that role, and you're effective in pulling it off, the sky's the limit, because they can do anything with you. But if they hire you and you're only good at doing this one thing, and that one thing isn't getting over, you're A, dead in the water, or B, they're very limited in what they can do with you. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot in terms of how far you can progress in the company. So it is an entertainment business. Even when wrestling was traditional wrestling, it was still a form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this at seminars and classes that I come in to run for certain places, that as crazy as it sounds, the last thing the wrestling business is about is wrestling. And
mm-hmm.
it sounds insane, but it's true. It's about putting asses in the seats. And regardless if it's a great wrestling match, a great character, a great story, whatever it may take to get people in the door, that's what it's going to be to do so. It's not wrestling that does it. I think at the seminar I helped out with on Saturday, I think that's exactly what I said to them. Great matches don't sell tickets. Great stories do. And you need to have great personality and you have to have great character to tell a great story. Any book you read or any movie you watch has compelling characters. And that's exactly what wrestling's like. Just the wrestling is the genre that's being sold, opposed to comedy or horror or romance. We're selling the genre of wrestling, and it's the exact same thing as putting together a movie or writing a book. You have to have compelling stories that have conflict that come to a head, and that's what wrestling is. So if you can be well-rounded and fit into that mold, the sky's the limit when you get to WWE.
Okay, fair enough. Well, in NXT right now, who really stands out? Who's your favorite to watch, or who are your favorites? Who are the guys that really make you enjoy that show?
My favorites in NXT. That's a great question. Who are my favorites in NXT right now? I'm really enjoying Bayley there. I think she's really got something special. And I think when she gets up to the main roster, she's going to be a huge phenomenon. She just has this crazy ability to connect with children that's lost in this day and age. And I think the only other guy that does as well as she does, or more so than she does, obviously, is John Cena. He has this, you know, this compelling personality about him that attracts, you know, women, kids. I think she kind of has that same personality trait to her and her character that really, really does that. Who else is there? A lot of the guys that have come in that have been top guys on the indies, you know, guys like Samoa Joe and stuff like that, they've been great to see there. You know, Sami Zayn when he's there. It's really become a super indie there. That's really what NXT has become. It's gone from being a developmental where they're taking young kids or you know, former football players and turning them into wrestlers to really culminating all the top independent talent in the world into one place. So it's kind of like Ring of Honor on steroids in terms of like the budget.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of getting everybody from everywhere, where Ring of Honor, you know, used to have a couple of those top guys and then, you know, would fill out with, you know, top indie guys or smaller indie guys. Like, they literally are breaking the bank and bringing in Austin Aries and Nakamura and, you know, the Bullet Club is rumored to be there. So it's a cool thing right now.
What do you think of Nakamura and Austin Aries in going to NXT? Do you think that's a really good fit? Do you think they'll be successful?
Yeah, well, WWE just launched the WWE Network in Japan, so getting Nakamura was a huge, huge benefit to them, because with them launching in Japan, him being the biggest star in Japan, it's naturally going to translate into a huge revenue for them over there. When they go back and run events there, they're going to draw very well, and they haven't been drawing the greatest the last few times over in Japan. So acquiring AJ Styles, acquiring Nakamura, that's really going to help them in those markets. I think Austin Aries is going to be a benefit in terms of they're going to be able to do a touring brand and have top level or top named indie guys on these shows like him. And that's what like I said, they're kind of building their own Ring of Honor or their own super indie. So when they go and tour in these places, guy like, you know, current day Ring of Honor doesn't have a chance because they're going up against a stacked, loaded roster of guys that were established there and now have that national tag on them. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be crucial to that, where they can put Austin Aries in a main event in any of those markets they're running, and he's going to go have that five-star style of independent indie match that they're looking to have. And, you know, Nakamura, once again, he's the most popular international wrestler in the world right now, and the only way you can see him, he's not going to Raw, he's not going to SmackDown, where you can watch him for free, he's going to the network, where you have to drop $10 a month to see it. So it was a very sound investment on their part to hire him, and I think he's going to be a very crucial part of that development of that brand.
All right, well, let's talk ROH. I know you, you've had dealings with them, you've worked with them, you probably have a very unique perspective of ROH, so tell me a bit about your thoughts on ROH.
I think it's great. Like, outside, like I don't have cable, so I don't get to watch their TV program on a regular basis, but I do try to find things when I hear certain things are more special than others on the internet and kind of keep up with it. But their shows have always been great, and they've got a really great atmosphere at all of them. If you go and watch a show live or even on DVD, it's got such a great crowd atmosphere that you can't help but kind of get caught up in the moment and feel you're a part of something special. And right now they're killing it. Like, Ring of Honor is by far the number two in the world now. It used to always be, you know, it was always perceived that WWE was number one, TNA was number two, and Ring of Honor was number three. And I don't think there's any argument anymore that Ring of Honor isn't number two. They're drawing huge houses across North America. Their TV show is highly watched. The match quality is great. The only thing holding them back, and which has, I guess, been a criticism since the day the company started, is it's kind of a one-note wrestling show where, you know, opening match to end of card is all very similar style matches and style wrestlers who look similar. So it's, you know, not going to capture the national audience by the masses, but I think they've made a lot of appropriate changes to fix that. They have a guy like Dalton Castle, who's, you know, very personality driven. That's
very personal
over there right now. You know, a guy like Silas Young still has those matches that are Ring of Honor style matches, but he's got a very distinctive character and personality now. So I think they've opened their range up. I know, like, you know, not recently, but in years past, they'd have, you know, like Matt Hardy come in and Rhino come in. So they were bringing some of the big name stars to come in. The wrestling business as a whole right now is hot. Like, New Japan is doing well. WWE is doing well. TNA just got a new deal. Global Force is starting up. There's Lucha Underground. It's a great time to be a wrestler in the business right now, as there's tons of job opportunity. But with Ring of Honor being a distinct number two, I think of all the companies that are in the running, they're going to be the ones kind of hurt the most by everything that's going on, because they do have such a distinct style of wrestler that they hire. And there's only so many guys on the independents that are free agents that are capable of doing that style at a high level. So if WWE keeps throwing big money at their top guys to take them away and create their own brand of Ring of Honor, it's going to create more opportunities for guys to step up in Ring of Honor and be stars and hopefully give some guys new jobs. But I don't know if there's enough top quality guys to fill those spots if they continue to get raided by companies that have bigger budgets than them.
Well, you know what, you hit the nail on the head right there with the distinct style of ROH. It's one of the things that attracts me to it is when I watch it, it's a different flair of wrestling. It's somewhere like, you know, it's not overblown as much as WWE, but it still manages to capture some of that, I don't know, sports entertainment magic. But at the same time, it has this incredibly, sometimes mind-numbingly fast work rate where you're watching and you're like, wow, those guys are going to, like, how do they not go in the back and have a heart attack after the match, after they've done, you know?
It reminds me a lot of, like, watching, like, old NWA. Like, obviously the style is much different and it's progressed a lot, but, you know, it's usually, like, darkly lit and you know, the venue's darkly lit. It's guys going out there, you know, not too flashy in terms of their appearance or their gear, and they're just going in the ring and they're telling a story with their match, which is a lost art. A lot of guys aren't capable of doing anymore. You know, their style is very progressive, and you know they often will be criticized that guys do too much, or sometimes it's not believable. But I think it's just a different genre in the sense that
you know,
go to the movie store. There's you know, there's a horror movie section, there's an action section, there's a family section. I think professional wrestling is like that now, and I no longer, you know, agree with this is the way it should be. I don't like that argument or that statement anymore, because I think that wrestling has progressed in such a way that now wrestling has its own genres, you know, and Ring of Honor is its own genre, where WWE, you know, is sports entertainment and Ring of Honor is wrestling, and Lucha Underground is this, you know, cool, you know, movie style produced show, and TNA's got their own deal. Everyone's kind of unique and different to their own, and Ring of Honor is just a different flavor of ice cream in that sense. But it's got that gritty wrestling feel to it, and that's why I enjoy watching it when I get the opportunity to, because I feel like I'm watching the kind of wrestling show I grew up watching. It's just progressed with the times to be more current in terms of the style of wrestling and the moves and things of that nature, but it still has that wrestling feel to it. And for me, that's the kind of wrestling I enjoy watching, so it's a good fit.
You know what? Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. Like, I know there are people that have the criticism of, oh, they did so many finishing maneuvers and they didn't quite put each other, you know, finish it off. And I enjoy that. I mean, I really do. And, you know, it, to me, and this is a really old analogy, okay, but it reminds me of when I was young and I used to watch Stampede Wrestling when I was like 13 years old. And every Saturday, Stampede Wrestling would be on. And then 2 hours later, there would be Maple Leaf Wrestling, I think it was called. It was a WWE show from Toronto. Yep. And it have these big, flashy names and big guys. But I always found that this no-name guys on are such not as big as names. I knew them from watching them. But the guys on Stampede, what they did in the ring drew me in more than the characters that I was seeing on the Toronto show. And I realized
professional wrestling.
Yeah, and I realized that there are different flavors of wrestling. And it's funny, you know, I wanted to ask you, and please, maybe I'm way off 100%, and maybe you will not agree with me at all about this, okay? But I have only got to see CWE one time on tour, okay? I've only gone to one card. And somebody asked me how I felt and what I saw, and what I said was, of all the indie companies I've ever seen, this style to me was as close to Ring of Honor as I've ever seen any other indie company do. And I meant that as a compliment. I felt that the matches I saw, the way the guys told the story in the ring, the way it was so physical in that. And I wonder, do you have that influence? Do you feel that's part of your influence when you are putting together CWE shows? Does that kind of style, or did I just maybe see a card that was not the typical CWE card?
No, that's CWE all the time, especially on tour. We try to be the current hip, cool product when it comes to professional wrestling, because I've got a crew of young guys that can go. You know, so I try to present it in that way, and I try to give a little bit of everything. Like, you know, Ring of Honor will be criticized for being a one-note wrestling show where you know, if you've seen match one, you've seen them all because they're the same. And that's not necessarily true all the time with them. But I've got guys that can work that style from match one to match end. But with that being said, they all have their own distinct personalities and characters. So I try to find that nice blend where people are still getting that quality of wrestling, but we also have unique characters that clash with other characters. So you're still getting the entertainment style and the personalities that go along with the sports entertainment style of wrestling, but you're still getting that match that's going to blow your mind. Because when you come and see a show live, I think it's a lot different if you're watching just straight wrestling on TV. But if you're at a show live and you're seeing these amazing feats of athleticism right up close and personal, it really wows you and it kind of leaves an impression with you. And we've tried to be that product because there are so many, you know, independents, especially in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Western Canada.
Kind of work, yeah, Western Canada. That just kind of work the traditional, like, I want to call it like a local wrestling style.
Yes.
Where it's all very bare bones and basic. It's you know, your traditional community club center match. Where our crew is guys that are kind of culminated from across North America, who are all top guys in their respective region who want to be the best, and they're not just doing this for fun. They do this because it's their living, and they want to make it to a bigger stage. So you got guys that go out there, and they kill it each and every night. So every match on the show can be a main event, and I try to book it like that because wrestling, you know, it's one of those things. We're trying to attract a new audience to come out and check it out. So we've got a group of guys that are young, good-looking guys. They're in shape. They're athletic. They can do things, but they're also entertaining. So you can bring your kids to the show. You can bring, you know, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma. And even though they may not be wrestling fans, they're going to be entertained by the personalities, where the wrestling fan is still going to be impressed by what they're seeing inside the ring. So I try to have a nice little magical blend and potion I put together, and that's kind of what creates the CWE magic on these shows.
Now, you know what? Speaking of CWE magic, folks, coming up, probably within a week after that you hear this show, CWE is touring in Western Canada. And I first of all want to – can you throw out the dates for your Alberta showings?
Yeah, we're going to be in Sherwood Park, just outside of Edmonton, Alberta, on Sunday, February 21st at Festival Place. And then we are taking a day off because we're going to be a little beaten and battered from the first couple of days of the tour. And we're traveling down to Calgary, and we are doing a show there on Tuesday, February 23rd.
Now, what's the big part of the show? I know you're bringing in some special people. What's the big attraction?
This whole tour is stacked. I'm really excited about it. The whole tour as a concept is exciting for us. It's our 7th anniversary tour, and we started in January 2009. So to be here in 2016, and we are running 8 shows in 4 provinces in 9 days, it's extremely cool, and nobody has attempted anything like this in Canada. So just the concept of the tour is kind of must-see as it is. But in terms of talent on it, finally, after many years of trying to match schedules, we've got Colt Boom Boom Cabana debuting for CWE. I know he's been out there in Alberta before, so anybody that has been to an Alberta wrestling show knows just how incredibly entertaining and fun he is. But for the first time, he's going to mix it up with guys on our crew, and he's coming out and doing all 8 shows on tour with us. So we're really excited to have him because he's somebody I've known for years. I've actually slept on his couch in my travels. So he's somebody I've known for a long time. He's helped get me some good opportunity in the United States, and I've tried him a million times, but he's such a busy in-demand wrestler. Our schedules have just never worked, and the stars have aligned, so we've made it happen for Colt to come on tour with us. And co-headlining on the Alberta portion of the tour, he was there in August, which was his first tour for us, and he absolutely nailed it, and he's become a regular for the company, is Ring of Honor TV star Silas Young.
Yes,
who's coming back, and just another incredible talent. He's somebody who just loves wrestling. He lives in Wisconsin. He drives up to Canada with the boys. You know, he's not one of those guys that's gotten a big head with his TV push, and he just loves wrestling, and it shows. He comes out, and each and every night he busts his ass like he's in the main event of Ring of Honor TV, and it's really helped develop some of our markets, and he's become one of the most, you know, popular performers on our program. So we're really excited to have him back.
Definitely.
On the Alberta tour.
I gotta say, the last time he came up here, I had seen him a couple times on TV. I was impressed with his wrestling there, and he plays such a mean, jerky character. And when you meet him at the show and you see him, he was incredible. I mean, not only did I think he was like one of the best wrestlers that I'd seen in a long time, after the show when he was signing autographs and stuff, he was like genuinely a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's just one of those. He's, you know, he's somebody that I relate to because, you know, he's been wrestling about the same time as I have, about 13 years, and he just loves it still. You can tell that fire is still burning bright inside, that he gets to do his dream job and go out there and travel the roads and wrestle every day, and he lays it in the ring. Like, he's not a guy that goes in and goes, oh, well, we got 8 shows this week, I'm going to take it easy. Like, he goes out there and he earns his money every night. I've been recommending him to every promoter I've talked to since he's come into CWE because he busts his ass and he's worth his weight in gold. Just with his, even if he didn't have that Ring of Honor tag on him as being an ROH TV guy, just his work ethic alone and his ability to go out there and generate the amazing heat he does, is he's an asset to any show he's on.
Definitely, definitely. And who else? I believe you had Chase Owens was coming in.
Yes, the newest member of the Bullet Club, Chase Owens, is returning, and he's another guy that started coming up for CWE a couple of years ago, and his career has just exploded the last couple of years. Honestly, one of the most talented human beings I've ever been in the ring with. He just flows. He's so smooth in that ring, and that's really gotten him a lot of places. He's in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's in the Bullet Club. He, you know, wrestled with TNA last year, with Global Force last year, and he's been a regular with us. Every time we do a tour, he's been on him since he started working for the company. So he's been a huge asset to us. Another guy who just got his first opportunity in Ring of Honor, Jason the Gift Kincaid, mm-hmm. is returning to CWE, and he's on this tour. He just debuted on their television, the part of the Top Prospects tournament. So this show is stacked. Like, we're really excited.
And I gotta say, fans, I seen Mr. Kincaid, and very unique. That's all I'm gonna say. You have to. There's nothing I can say to describe him that would do him justice. He is something. He is something, yeah, unique and different.
Yeah, when he first sent me his stuff to come up to Canada, I instantly said, we got to get this guy up here. There's something really, really special about him. And the first time I got to see him wrestle on one of our shows live, I was just blown away. He was so unique and so different than anything I've seen in, I think, ever. And I said it was just a matter of time till he became a star. So I'm really excited to see he's kind of getting that opportunity now, because it blew my mind that he hadn't been signed already by the time he got up to us, because he had done quite an extensive traveling throughout the U.S. and it was just mind-blowing to me that somebody hadn't picked him up, because he's so naturally talented and he connects with an audience in a way that so few can, that he's got a star written all over him. And another guy that's coming up, we've got a guy who was just NWA World Tag Team Champion just a few months ago, in Sigmund, who's another guy that came up for CWE about a couple of years ago looking for an opportunity, and has you know, wrestled for the company quite a bit, and his career is really taking off. He won the NWA World Tag Team titles. He's won the Jim Cornette Cup with his tag team partner recently. He wrestled in the first match to ever air on Chinese television earlier this year. So wow. He's another incredible guy inside that ring that we're excited to have on tour. And it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. This isn't just a bunch of a local guys getting together for, you know, a show once or twice a month. These mm-hmm. are guys that do this to pay the bills, and they're extremely passionate and extremely talented at what they do. So this is a major league show. You can take this roster and you can put it against the Ring of Honor show. You can put it against any top independent wrestling show, and it's going to stand tall and maybe even surpass it.
Well, who else on this roster coming up should I be keeping an eye on that I may not know yet?
We've got Carter Mason returning. He did the last tour for us as well. He's from Toronto, just an incredible junior heavyweight wrestler who's been really, you know, busting his ass out in Ontario. He's been winning championships everywhere he wrestles out there. He's coming back and competing with us. You know, of course, I'm going to be there in action. Travis Cole is returning to Alberta, his home province, for both dates. And who else we got? We got quite a few guys coming. Oh, yes, we've got our TV champion coming out to wrestle for CWE in Alberta this time. This will be the first time our television title has ever been defended in Alberta as Wrestling's Strongest Man, CWE TV champion Tyler Colton
is coming out. I've seen Tyler before. Very talented man.
Yeah, he's actually the first and only person to ever graduate from the CWE Wrestling School. He was in the front row of our first wrestling show, and as soon as we announced we were having a wrestling tryout and a school was opening, he was the first guy to jump on it. So he's went from being a fan in the front row to probably being one of the most successful wrestlers we've ever had. He started out as a young kid. Now he's, you know, 270 pounds, just a mean monster. He's been in the ring with Scott Steiner this year, Michael Elgin, Charlie Haas, and he's beaten them all, and he's en route to a CWE championship match in our main event on the Winnipeg portion of the tour, which is the big showdown. And he's coming to Alberta for the first time. He's going to be defending in Calgary and in Sherwood Park. And of course, we're going to be seeing the return of Dynamite Dan and Pistol Pete, who debuted with the company on our Calgary show last tour. They're going to be coming and doing both dates with us. So they'll be there in Edmonton and Calgary on the 21st and 23rd.
Well, you know, it sounds like this is going to be some exciting stuff. Where can we get tickets if we wanted to go see your show?
For the Sherwood Park show, tickets are exclusively through Ticketmaster Outlet. So you can go to Ticketmaster.ca and get those, or you can go to Ticketmaster Outlet anywhere in Alberta and you can get those tickets. And for the ones in Calgary, I'm going to direct you to our website, cwecanada.ca, as we've got multiple ticket outlets in town. They can also be bought online at diobo.com, and they will be available at the door as well.
And how much are these tickets?
General admission is $15 in advance, $18 at the door, and we also offer a VIP ticket for $20, which gets you first priority seating. It gets you in the building before general admission to pick your seat out, and you also get a 30-minute meet and greet with the entire crew. So you can come down and meet Colt Cabana, meet Silas Young, hang out with Travis Cole, and get to know the boys.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really fun time. And fans, like I said, you know, I've covered many companies and many different matches, and CWE really stood out to me as being, for me, a flavor of wrestling that I hadn't seen live yet, and I'd wanted to. It reminds me a lot of the style of ROH in the action, and I love the physicality of that, and I love the work rate of that, and I think that if you're a fan of good wrestling, I mean, I think you're in for a treat. And you would be remiss. I mean, this is a great card. There's some. I've seen most of these guys that are coming up. Some of them I haven't. Most of them I have seen. And even the CWE guys, they're really talented young men. And Danny, you know what? I want to wish you the best success for this tour. And I hope it does great. So, because I hope that we see CWE regularly coming into Alberta.
Yeah, and that's really what we're shooting for. And while we're shooting, you know, a lot of local promoters in Alberta have been kind of shaking in their boots about CWE coming to town, because we came and did that first tour and we really impressed a lot of people, and we've got them on their toes now that we're bringing these top quality shows, and they've got every reason to be, because CWE provides the best professional wrestling in Canada. And we just named, you know, 5, 6, 7 top tier guys that would normally come in for a local show and be the main event, but they're in our opening match, they're in our second match, they're in their third match, they're in our fourth match. Every single match on the card is with somebody who main events somewhere in the world. So these shows are well worth investing your money in. You're getting guys that take this seriously, and they're going to leave you saying, wow, I got my money's worth. When are you guys coming back? So drop your money down, give us a try. You're not going to be disappointed you did.
And you know what? Surprisingly, for a professional wrestler, Mr. Duggan here has not told you, you know, or sold himself a lot, but I have seen him wrestle a lot, and you always put on a great show, and I always look forward when I see you on the card, so I'm looking forward to seeing you wrestle too, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I truly love wrestling in Alberta. I've been wrestling 13 years now, and big part of my career has been making that long drive to and from Alberta. So I've made a lot of lifelong friends and a lot of lifelong fans out there. So now that I'm operating CWE, you don't see me coming out too often or at all for any of the other operations in Alberta. So this is a rare opportunity to come say hi to me in Calgary and Edmonton, because I've got an entire very busy schedule, much like those other guys you mentioned, and I'm traveling the world now myself. So it'll be really cool to kind of catch up with some of the fans in Calgary and Edmonton that I was getting an opportunity to at once upon a time see once a month, now that I'm only getting a chance to see a couple times a year. So I'm really excited to see everybody and say hello and do our thing.
Well, you know what? I want to thank you for coming on the show and taking time. It was really interesting to sit and talk about the current state of wrestling and the companies that a lot of people have been watching.
Most definitely. And before we sign off here, for people that want to kind of stay in touch with CWE and stay in touch with myself,
and I was just going to mention that,
CWECanada.ca, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, it's all CWE Canada. And for myself, it's Hotshot Danny Duggan on Facebook and on Instagram, and Hotshot Danny D on Twitter. So get in touch with me. Let's talk wrestling. I love chatting with the fans and getting to know everybody. So start following us, start following the brand, and see what all the hype's about.
And you know what? You mentioned earlier that you have been regularly doing a podcast. If people wanted to listen to that, how do we get a hold of that?
Yeah, we've really exploded. We're really trying to take over all mediums here on the internet. We just started doing a CWE video podcast that we record every Tuesday that ends up on YouTube a couple days later in the week, and that's on the Canadian Wrestling's Elite YouTube page, which is also CWE Canada, or you can go to any of our social media channels or website. It's always posted there. And much like this one, I've just started the Hot Seat with Hotshot Danny Duggan, which is an audio podcast that goes to air every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Central. I've been interviewing guests from across Eastern Canada. This is going to air after my guest tomorrow, but I'm actually speaking with El Lobo Andy Anderson from Alberta tomorrow night, and we're going to continue talking to top stars from across the world of professional wrestling as the weeks go on, and that can be seen or listened to, at blogtalkradio.com/backslash Hot Seat with Danny Duggan.
Well, you know what? It sounds like you got a lot of great things going on. CWE seems to be a giant rolling its way down the prairies. So, folks, take a look. I'm sure you're going to find something very different, very unique, and really entertaining. Danny, thanks a lot for coming on the show. And we look forward to talking to you in the near future.
We'll see you very soon, my friend.
This has been Wrestling Now with the legend T. James Logan. For more information on Wrestling Now, as well as all the other programming on the network, please check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, WordPress, or edmontonspn.podbean.com.